Begin the current daf Masechta Yuma daf Ayin Aleph. We begin three lines up from the bottom of the Amud on Ayin Mabez, where the Gemara continues discussing the Mishnah of the previous daf. And that is, our Mishnah went, the entire Masechta up until this point was going through phase one and phase two of the five phases of the Voida of the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur, which goes first Big Day Zahav, Big Day Lavan, Big Day Zahav, Big Day Lavan, and then Big Day Zahav. So those are the five phases when he changes from one to another. Big Day Zahav, the Avodas that he does generally with things that are done during the year. Big Day Lavan are those that are uniquely, especially for those that are done inside the Kodesh areas, the holiest of holies, Kachi Kachim. Now, our Mishnah explained phase four, and that is Kiddush Yod V'Raglav. He sanctifies his hands and his feet, which is done every time before and after he immerses himself in the mikveh. Then he changes himself back into his white linen garments to take out the ladle and a shovel full of the keteres with the coals that was in the Kodesh HaKodeshim, and then we'd bring that out, and then we'd switch back into phase five, into his Shemayin Begadim, to his eight garments. So the Gemara brings a brisa that elaborates on how we know this, that this was the how the order of the day was. Because if one reads the psukim, it doesn't necessarily come out like that. It sounds like that there was the Big Day Zahav, which is the Tamat Shal Shachar, which those are the regular things that are done. Then the Big Day Lavan. And it sounds like that it's only one time Big Day Lavan, which including that, which is after he finishes everything that he did with the blood, Zach Slamal, Shav Lamata, with the Par and the Sar, La Hashem, then he would go ahead and after the Keteris were done, having its incense all throughout the base of the Kodesh HaKodeshim, he would go ahead and take it out. And then he would move on to phase three, which is Eil and Eil Ha'am, and that would be it. He wouldn't go ahead and have phase four and phase five. It would end with phase three, where he would do the rest of the Avodas with the Big Day Zahav. So that the Gemara clarifies as follows. Tarban, we learn the Braisa. There's a pasuk in Vayikra Tezayin pasuk of Gimel that says, Uva Aaron el Ol Moed, that Aaron will come to the Ol Moed, and that is he'll come back to the holiest areas to do the Avodas. And then there, the pasuk there concludes by saying, "Ufashiras bigdei habad asher lavash." Then he'll take off the linen garments that he had put on b'vayel hakodesh when he came into the holy areas. V'nichem sham, and he'll leave them over there. Now the brisa asks, "Lamahuva? Why is he coming back in now? He already was inside before by doing the applications of the blood, the kodesh kodeshim, by the pareches, the mizbeach hazav. Why is he coming back in?" So that is lohitzias akav v'samachta. He has to remove the ladle and the shovel that he had put originally, the keteris there, which was done in between when he was doing those avoidas. Now he has to remove that. That's why he goes back in again. Now the Gemara continues on top of Ayin Aleph Amin Aleph that explains as follows: Shakola parsha kula nemra ala seder. The entire parsha, which this is the beginning of Parshas Achrei Mois, which talks about the avoid of the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippurim, it's all said in chronological order. Chutz mi pasuk zeh, except for this pasuk, which has the Kohen Gadol going back in, as we're explaining, that's what the pasuk means, when the Vohar Aaron Alo Moed is going back in to get his ladle and his shovel with the keteris and the coals, when they come to take it out, that pasuk is not in its proper chronological order. Now the Gemara asks, my timer, what is the reason, what requires the Gemara to assume such a thing that it's out of order? Why can't it be that that was the order? And that is, as we said before, there was the Avodas he does every day, which is the Tamat Shel Shachar, which possibly other things that were done with that too. Then the Big Day Lavan Avodas, which is the Par and the Sar and the Keteris. Then once he's done that, then he goes back in, as if that's where the Pasuk in context is, to get the ladle and the shovel out. And then he goes and immerses himself in the mikveh, and then he does the rest of the Avodas with the Mizbeach Hazav, with the Big Day Zav. Those are things that are done outside in the Azara, and possibly in the Heichel, but they're done with the Shemayin Begadim. That would be phase three, and that's it. There wouldn't be these five phases. So that the Gemara's first answer says, I'm Rav Chizr. Rav Chizr says, no, it has to be out of order. Because Gemara, we have a tradition, Halacha L'Moshe B'Sinai, that Chomesh Tevilos, there were five immersions, Vasar Kiddushin, and together with that, there were 10 sanctifications of his hands and his feet, because by every Tevila, he did one before and one afterwards, that Tevil Kohen Gadol Mekadosh B'Yom, that the Kohen Gadol would immerse and sanctify his hands and feet on that day. And Ve'i Amrit Kesidron Ksivi, and if you're going to say that the Pasuk is as it's written, that it's in this proper chronological order, and that is, when he took out the Keteris, was a continuation of the first time he had put on the linen garments, and that there was no outer Avodah that he does with the Big Day Zahav, which is the Isle and the Isle of the People, that separated between the Avodas Hayoim, which is regarding of what he did with the applications of the blood, and then later to take out the ladle and the shovel of the keteris, and that is, it wouldn't be that the aisle, the ram of his ram and the ram of the people, which has to be done with the Shemayin Begadim, came in between. If it didn't, then lo mishkachas la ela shalosh tevilos v'shish kedushin. Then ultimately, we would only be left with three immersions and six kedushin, like we had explained on Daf Lamed Beis, Amed Beis, and therefore must be that this pasuk is out of order, because if it was where it's written right now, it would sound like it's coming at the helm, at the end of the second phase. And therefore, what would come after that? Nothing else that requires the bigdei lavan. So he wouldn't have to immerse again for the transition. So you'd be left with three phases, and that would make only three tefillahs and six kedushim. And we have Halacha Mishmei Sinai that there were five tefillahs and 10 kedushim must be that this is not here. Rather, the pasukim that come after that, that of the ram of the Kohen Gadol and the ram of the people, which requires bigdei zav, was before it. And you have to transplant this pasuk at a later point in time. So hence, he had to have two more transitions going to the aisle of the people and his aisle and another, and then going back to the bigdei lavan. He has to go ahead with another tefillah and then another tefillah after that to go back to the bigdei zav. So that's how the Rav Chasda explains, must be that this pasuk is out of order based on the halacha Mishmei Sinai that we know that they have to have five tefillahs and 10 kedushin. Now, Maskel Rav Zeir asks on this. He goes, you're right. It seems like that it's out of order. That, in other words, in the sense that there has to be something separating the avodas hayom, which are the applications of the blood, achslamal, shavlamata, and the removing of the ladle. You have to have some avod of bigdei zav inside of this so that we have to have another two tvilas, another two transitions to make it five, not three. However, you said that this pasuk has to be replaced, but v'dilma, he asks, mafsik le bisar hanasa b'chutz. Maybe what's going to come in between the avodas hayom, which is the beginning of phase two, and what sounded like the end of phase two, which is removing the ladle, which we're saying is not really phase two. You actually have to get another phase of three in there, and then it becomes phase four. Maybe that was done with the sar, the higot, that was done outside in the azar. And that's because, as we explained in greater detail in the previous staff, there's a pasuk in Bamidbar Chav Tes that says, Molvad chatas hakipurim, that means besides for the chatas hapanimi, which is the sar lashem that was done inside, besides that, in other words, besides phase two, it says that you also have to have a sar, a higot, bachitzen, outside, which is brought out in the azar. Now, that part, and therefore it would make more sense to say that that's coming right at the helm of phase two, because we have to have something else at the end of phase two, because you can't have yet the ladle being taken out, because you have to have another beged zahav avoda done in between. So therefore, what Reb Zeir is asking is, you have to have something else anyways there. Now, we have from a pasuk that's mashma that the sar chitzen is done immediately after the sar hapanimi anyway. Now, if that's the case, you can have the sar hachitzen being then, and not the ram as our Mishnah says. Our Mishnah says, what is phase 3? Which means before phase 4, which is what's coming in between the avodas hayom of the bigdei lavan. Our Mishnah says, it's his ram and the ram of the people. Now, however, that is a problem, because based on that, like Rav Chisda wanted to say, that means you have to take the pasuk and say it doesn't belong here. You have to go ahead and transplant it after although the aisle of the Kohen Gadol and the aisle of the people is actually written after the removal of the ladle, because it comes at a later pasuk than this pasuk which says that Aaron comes to the El Moed. However, we said that you have to go ahead and say that the pasukim are written out of order. So Reb Zeir is asking, leave the pesukim as they are. It's written the proper chronological order. You just have to insert something which is not written over here. It's anyways written elsewhere, so it's got to come in somewhere in the process of the day, which is the sar hanasa b'chutz, which is not written here. And anyways, it's more logical to say that that's what comes in between the two, because we know from a different pasuk in Bamidbar that says Molvad chatas hakipurim, where that's where it's written, not here in Vayikra and Pasha Achrei Mois, that it should come after the chatas hapanimi, because that's generally what the term Molvad means to say. So why are we saying that you're saying the Torah must be out of written, out of order? No, it's a proper order. And the aisle of the Kohen Gadol, the aisle of the Amis, actually comes after the removal of the ladle. However, what comes in between? Not the aisle, but rather the Sar HaNas B'chutz, which is mentioned elsewhere, which anyways is mashma, it should be coming after the chatas hapanimi, after phase two. So that on Abaya answers as follows. It says, Amar Kra, the pasuk of Vayikra, after the pasuk says that when he's coming into the oil moyed, now the next pasuk after that says, V'yatza v'ases oilasai, he's going to go out and he's going to do his oil. Now the explanation is, means to say, miyitzir rishayna, because it says that from when he comes out from doing phase two, he's going to come out. Now, that means to say it's the first time that he's coming out from, he was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he was by the Heichel, he was by the Mizbech HaZav, now he's coming out from doing the first time he's wearing the Bigdei Lavan. Which one is that? It says, V'yatza, what do you do then? V'asa esay lasi, the pasuk says. Avid eila ve'eila am. So that's why it must be saying that he does the ram of his own and the ram of the people. So obviously you have to say that it was done before the removal of the ladle and of the shovel. And therefore, that's what interposes between the two of them, and not like Reb Zeir was proposing that it was a sar hanasa b'chutz. You're right, it would be a good explanation for what would be in the in-between, and then you wouldn't have to say the psukim out of order, but we can't say that. Because it's clear from the pasuk, the way it defines it was v'yatzav asas elasa. When he comes out, he does the ayla. It says, what's the first thing he's doing? When he comes out, is his ram and the ram of the people, and not the sar hanasa b'chutz. And therefore, we have to say that the Torah is obviously out of order. This pasuk of saying that when he's removing the ladle does not belong here, because the ram of his of the people and the Kohen Gadol's own ram came immediately after the Sar HaNasa Befnim. And that's anyways because we know something has to come there. So it must be this and not the Sar HaNasa Bechutz, as the pasuk is saying, this is the first one of the Avodas Bechutz that you do and not the Sar HaNasa Bechutz. Now the Gemara continues, Rava Amar Rava says, he's coming to give a second answer. That is Rav Chisda's approach to this problem of saying that the parsha was written Shloi Kaseder. He said, I'll prove to you that it's written out of order. Why? Because we know there's a Messiah that has to be five Tevilas and Asar Kedushim. Now, if you can have it the way it's written, you're only going to have three. Rava gives a different interpretation of how he knows that it must be that this pasuk doesn't belong over here. Because he says, Amakra, there's a pasuk in Mayikra, the one that we were quoting up until now, when he's coming back in to remove the ladle and the shovel of the Keteris, says Ufashat es bigdi habad, that afterwards he'll be removing the linen garments. Now, as the Bach explains, this is going on that pasuk, which means say after he takes out the ladle and the shovel when he was wearing the white linen garments, he's going to remove it then. Now, she'in tam aloyim ashalavish. So Rava points out, there's really nothing the Torah is teaching me when it says the term ashalavish that he wore. What does that mean? As the Gemara explains. Does anyone take off clothing but what he's wearing? Why would I have to say it's saying he's removing his clothing? Now, of course, that means it's a clothing that you wore because you can't remove clothing that you didn't wear. So, why does it tell me the clothing that he wore, which is going in the past tense, meaning he obviously was wearing up until now? So it must be the past tense is referring to a more previous past tense, shalavish kvar, that he had already worn at a previous time. And that is, obviously, you see from there that this is the second time that he's removing his white linen garments. So obviously, this is what Rav is demonstrating, that there was something in between the Avodas Hayoyim and the removal of the spoon and the shovel of the coals. And as Rashi explains, Rav is not going back to resolve Reb Zeir's question, which he wanted to know, how do you know that it's the aisle and the aisle ha'am, as the Mishnah says, that's phase 3, which is what's coming in between phase 2 and phase 4, which are the big day love, and he wanted to know, maybe it's a sar hanasa b'chutz. That's what Rav is coming to address. He's coming to explain the question of that we're saying that the Bryce is saying that the psukim are out of order, and as our Mishnah clearly illustrates that, which the Mishnah has it in five phases, not with three. On that, Rav was saying, how do you know that it's supposed to be like that, out of order? And that he's saying clearly because it's saying ashalavish that he wore. What do you mean that you wore? Of course, you're taking off the clothing that you wore. What else are you taking off? Must mean that you wore a previous time. Now, when on Yom Kippurim did you wear the big day love in a previous time? Must be that you had taken it off since, when you did the aisle and the aisle ha'am, then you put it on again to take out the shovel and the ladle of the k'tiris, and then you go ahead and do the rest of the avodas. So therefore you see that there was a phase 3 in between phase 2 and phase 4. However, maskevla Rabbi Bar Rav Shila, but Rabbi Bar Rav Shila takes over Reb Zeir's question, so in other words, similar to like Reb Zeir asked Rav Chisda, the way his approach was, how he knew it was out of order of the psukim. So fine, we know it's out of order, but then the question is, same question like Reb Zeir asked, so now Rabbi Bar Rav Shila is asking on Rava, ve'ema demafsik lei b'sar hanasa b'chutz. Fine, but how do you know that it has to have, that the psukim are out of order, the way our Bryce is saying it, and the way our Mishnah is saying it clearly, because it's having ayil and ayil ha'am before the removal of the keteris, but maybe say, rather, it was something that's mentioned elsewhere in the Torah, in Sefer Bamidbar, in Parashat Pinchas, which that's the sar hanasa b'chutz, maybe that came in between. So yes, you'll have ashalavash, you'll have that it was once worn before that you took off, and then you put it back on again, and now you're taking it off for the second time, but you won't have to say the Torah is out of order by having the ayil and the ayil ha'am, which is actually written after this pasuk, to say that it's really before. So that Rava answers no, because for Haksiv, as similarly as the Gemara had answered for Rav Chisda, it says v'yatsa v'asa, it says the first thing he does when he comes out of doing the Chatoyis HaPanimius, when he's doing the first time with the Big Day Lovin, it says he'll go out and he'll do Ayloi v'Aylo, I'm his ram and the ram of the people. So therefore you see that's the first thing that's done and not the Sahar Nasa B'chutz. And therefore, since we know that there is going to be a phase 3 in between phase 2 and phase 4, we're going to make it his ram and the ram of the people, and therefore it must be the Pasuk's out of order, and it's not talking about the Sahar Nasa B'chutz, which is the one that's coming in between them. So that was the two different approaches between Rav Chisda and Rava, how to explain how we know that it must be that the Pasukim are out of order. But now the Gemara asks on the main idea of the Braisa. But b'chala parsha kula, so you're saying that the entire parsha, the Yonachar Yemais, which talks about the Kohen Gadol's Avodim Kippurim, you're saying besides this lone pasuk, Nemra ala Seder, the rest of it is said in the chronological order how it's done. On that the Gemara asks, but v'akra k'sivi, there's the following psukim, which the Gemara will illustrate, that clearly it's out of order, and therefore how can you say that it is all written chronologically, besides that one pasuk, when we see there are other ones that are out of order? Because there's a pasuk of a Yikra Tes Zayin Pasuk Chafei, there in Pashas Achimais, which says, v'schelev ha'chatas yaktar mezbecha, that the fats, which these are the sacrificial parts of the Karban Chatas, which are the Chatas HaPanimius, which is the Sar LaHashem that's done inside, Yakir HaMizbecha, he will sacrifice it on the Mizbech, V'hadr, and then only later, two Pesukim later in Pasuk HaZayin, it says, Ve'is Par HaChatas, Ve'esir HaChatas, and that the power of the Kohen Gadol, which is done inside, and the Sar LaHashem, which is done with the Jewish people, also inside, there the Pasuk says that they're going to be burnt, as we had explained in the previous staff, out of the Machna. Now, so it sounds like from the psukim, especially since we're saying they're chronologically appropriate, that first one burns the sacrificial parts of these karbanas, which are done inside, and then their flesh, the rest of their bodies, are burnt outside. Yet ve'ilo anantanan, but we learned on the previous Mishnah, Dav Samachesim Abeis, Haroyas Kohen Gadol Kushukar. We said if someone sees a Kohen Gadol when he's reading from the Sefer Torah, which is at the end of phase 2, and then we said he obviously doesn't see the burning of the par and the sar. There's obviously that what's clearly from the Mishnah is that their burning are being done the same time when the Kohen Gadol is still wearing his white linen garments, which at the end of phase 2. Yet ve'iloi murichatos, but according to everybody, the sacrificial parts of these karbanas, when they're burnt on the Mizbeach, are only basar hachimak delahu. They're only sacrificed in phase 3, when he had already immersed for the third time, which is together with his ram and the ram of the people. Now, how can we say that we're going to have the pasuk to be correct, which has the burning of the sacrificial parts, and only later the burning of their carcasses? But we said in the Mishnah, Samachesim Abeis, that first you're going to be burning them because they're going to be in phase 2 when the same time the Kohen Gadol is reading, and only later do we have the sacrificial parts in phase 3. So you see clearly from the pasuk that that even other psukim are out of order. So how can you say that the rest of the parsha is written chronologically appropriate? So that the Gemara answers, Ema, so obviously what we have to say when the Brice was saying that the entire parsha is written out of order, chutz mi pasuk zeh, it must be chutz mi pasuk zeh v'eilach. It must be, besides this pasuk, which that pasuk that we said, which is when he goes back in to take out the ladle and the shovel of the Keteris, which is pasuk Chav Gimel, must be from Chav Gimel and onward, as although it starts from the beginning of that perek, from there and onward, they are all Shalek Yaseidah. And therefore these two pasukim, that one was pasuk Chav Hei and pasuk Chav Zayin, it's not difficult that they're out of order. You're right, it's not true. You didn't burn the Chelav HaChatas before you burnt the carcasses of the Parm and the Sirman and the Srafim. However, from Chav Gimel and on was what we were saying is that they're out of order. Now, the Gemara asks on that. Umay chazes de mishabesh de kroy, where did you see fit to say that the psukim are incorrect in the sense of the chronological order? Shabash masnita, why don't we say that the Mishnah is incorrect and say that the Mishnah that said that the Srefas HaPar and the Sahir were done at the same time the Kohen Gadol was reading, that was incorrect. And really, it was done in phase 3, and that we could have the appropriateness of the pasuk in this chronological order, that maybe the sacrificial parts that were done in phase 3 were done before, in pasuk Chafei, before Chav Zayin, of the burning of the carcasses of the Parm and the Sirman and the Serafim. Why do we say that there's something wrong with the pasuk and not something wrong with the Mishnah? So that Abaye says, because Amakra, the pasuk says in over there in that parsha in Achrei Mois, it has in pasuk Chavav, which is again the pasuk between these two psukim of Chav Hei and Chav Zayin. It says over there in pasuk Chavav, it says v'hamashaleach, that the one who's going to be sending the sar la'azazel, that it talks about what he does. That they send him away to their cliff. Now, that same terminology of v'hamishalech and the one that is being sent, it also says v'hasayrif oisam, that the one that's going to burn them, which that's talking about the burning of the power and the sar har hanisrafim, which are the inner power, the power and the sar l'Hashem, that the one who's going to burn them, the pasuk talks about them. Now, both these pasukim, pasuk of v'hamishalech, which is pasuk of vav, which talks about sending the sar l'azazel, and pasuk of ches, which talks about burning the parm and the sirim hanisrafim, which is pasuk of ches, they're both written after pasuk of hey. Now, pasuk of hey was the pasuk that talks about v'ischel of hachatas, which is the burning of the sacrificial parts. However, as Rashi explains, obviously, the sending away of the sar l'azazel, although it's written after pasuk of hey, must be that it was really before the burning of the sacrificial parts. And the reason is because in pasuk of beis, which is before that, it says v'shilach es asar b'midbar, that you're going to send the sar to the desert. And only later in pasuk of hey does it say v'eschel v'achatas, and the sacrificial parts of the sar and of the pnimi that they're burnt on the mizbeach. Now, therefore, when it says in the later pasuk, pasuk Chavav, which is the one our Gemara is quoting of v'hamishaleach, must be that it's like somebody was talking about something, and then he got interrupted with something, and then he comes back to conclude, and he says, you know, that sending that I was telling you about, that we're sending him away, that person who was sent, that his garments actually become tummy. Now, and therefore, based on that logic, that same terminology of v'hamishaleach, which is obviously a reference to something that actually really is taking place earlier, which is the sending away of azazel, is done before the burning of the chel v'chatas. That same terminology says v'hasayif, the one who's burning the parm and the sirim hanisrafim. And therefore the Gemara says, Abai says the following answer for how I know clearly that the pasuk must be out of order, and that actually the parm and the sirim hanisrafim, although we can try to say there's something wrong with the Mishnah, and maybe the pasuk is appropriate chronologically, that really the burning of the chel of hachatas happened before the parm and sirim hanisrafim, Abai clearly demonstrates it's not true. It's clearly that burning of the parm and sirim hanisrafim, from the comparison to v'hamishaleach, that they were done before the chel of hachatas. And because ma mishaleach, the Gemara says, just like when it says v'hamishaleach in the Torah, although it's being written after the burning of the sacrificial parts, but d'meikarom, we know, as we just clarified through Rashi, that it was being actually done before, because it's actually written in the earlier pasuk chav beis. Now, it's only written later on as a way of clarification, this that we said, that we sent him out, you should just know his garments become tummy. However, but it's this term, v'hamashalech, and the one that sent, is really a reference to something that happened before. So therefore, afsayrev, also the one that's burning the parm and the serum and the srafim, although it's written after the burning of the sacrificial parts, dimikara, must be that it's also something that was done before, and therefore, it must be that it was really before the sacrificial parts. And therefore, that's how Abaye says, I know that the psukim are out of order, not just that one pasuk, but every pasuk from Chav Gimel on, because you see another raya from pasuk Chav Hey and pasuk Chav Zayin, where they're also out of order, that really Chav Zayin is really happening before Chav Hey. Because I know that the burning of the parm and the sirim and the srafim are done before the sacrificial parts, the chel v'chatas, because it compares v'hamashaleach to v'hasayiv, and just like v'hamashaleach was before the sacrificial parts, so to v'hasayiv of the burning of the parm and the sirim and the srafim also done before. However, the Gemara asks on this answer of Abaye. Adarabba, to the contrary, yes, it seems like we're comparing Hamashalech to Hasarif, but do it the other way and say Masarif to Hashtra, just like we know that the burning of the Parma and the Sarim and the Srafim are actually taking place now after the burning of the sacrificial parts, because this is the main place where it commands us to burn the Parma and the Sarim and the Srafim, which are set after the Muri Chatas, as the Pasuk says first in Chaf Hei, Veschel of HaChatas, which are the sacrificial parts of the inner Par and Sar. Then it tells us that on Pasuk of Zayin, that the carcasses of these animals should be taken out and be burnt. So therefore, say, just like Saif actually is taking place now at this later point in time, maybe Af Mishalech Dahashta, maybe also that regarding the one that's sending the Azazel is actually taking place after the burning of the sacrificial parts, after they mourn. Now, although the Pasuk earlier had mentioned and said in Pasuk of Beis already that we're sending him away, the one who's doing the Mishtaleach, so it sounds like it's before Chav Hei, which talks about the Chel of HaChatas, and then Rashi explains it would be to say that we send him when it's time for him to go, that we're talking about him now, but really it was done after the Emurim, the sacrificial part. So how do you know that the comparison is that the Bai wants to prove that there are other Pesukim out of order? Maybe it's not true. Maybe Chav Hei comes first and then Chav Zayin. And although we're comparing it to V'Hamashaleach, maybe actually V'Hamashaleach is learning from V'Hasayiv, which takes place after the Haktaras Emurim. And that the Gemara answer is no. Because Vahamishaleach Dimikar Mashma, the actual term of and the one that sent it, sounds like it's going back on something that we were talking about before. And that is, I already told you, Vishilach, send him out, which is in Chav Beis, which is before. Now, we interrupted to tell you something else. Now I'm getting back to what I told you. That person that we sent, Vihamishaleach, and that one, that's the one that his garments also become tummy. And therefore, since and as Rashi clearly illustrates this, because if it was really just mentioning it before, but really the sending it away was actually taking place at this later point where it's mentioned, after the Haktaras Emurim, then it would have said again, Vishilach Hasaran, that you should send him away, and the one that sends him away, his garments become tummy, he'll have to wash it. It doesn't repeat that. Therefore, it must be the commandment to send him away was actually in Chav Beis, which is at an earlier time, and therefore, if we're comparing the two, must be comparing Vahasarif, the one who burns the Parm and the Saram HaNasafim out of the Machna, must be also has that same criteria that's done at an earlier point in time, which is before the Haktar Seymurim, and therefore, it must be the Pesukim of Chav Hei and Chav Zayin are out of order, because actually Chav Zayin comes before Chav Hei, and that's how Abai demonstrates that it's clear that this answer that we gave, that it's not just this one pasuk of taking out the ladle from the Kodesh HaKodeshim with the white linen garments, that that's out of order, but from Chaf Gimel and onward, there are other psukim that are also out of order. Now, Rava says another pshat. He says, you can't say regarding this last question that we asked, that maybe the sending away of the sari in pasuk of Beis was not in its appropriate place. And that is maybe, as the Gemara had asked, wait a second, how can you, Abaye, prove from the comparison of Amashlech to Vasarif that it was actually before, and that's how you're demonstrating that it, obviously it was out of order from Chav Gimel and on? Maybe not true, what the Gemara had asked. Maybe actually we're saying that just like Hasarif is now at this later point in time, and that it actually comes after the Haktaras Emurim, so to the sending of Lazazel was at this later point in time. How do you know? How do you know to compare Sarif to Mishdaleach? Maybe compare Mishdaleach to burning of the Parma Sarma Sarfim, which is taking place at this later time, and then we could say that the Pesukim are in the proper order of Chafei and Chavzayim. So that Rava says that you cannot say that the Sarma Shdaleach was actually at this later point in time. It must be its real place was on Chav Beis, and therefore we're comparing the Parma and the Sarma and the Sarfim to the Mishdaleach of Dazazel. Because Amakra, the Pasuk says in Yikra, in Pasuk Yud. So there it says, and the Pasuk is in it says Vasar Asha Allah Love Hagar Lazazel. It said that the he goat that will fall into the Gairo, the lottery of Lazazel, as we know, there's two he goats, and one is chosen to be Lashem, which is blood is born inside the Kodesh HaKodesh, and the other one is sent away to that cliff and is thrown off. So it says that it should be Yo'amet Chai. It should remain standing alive. Now, Ad Masa Yehizaka Glamet Chai. How long does this Sar Lazal have to remain living and standing before you can kill it by throwing it off the cliff? And that, the end of the Pasuk says, it should be Lefnei Hashem, in front of Hashem, L'chaper Lav, that it should be an atonement for it. Now, that means Ad Shas Kapara. It should remain living, standing in front of Hashem. You should leave it there in Azara until the time of the atonement. Now, if Ema say Shas Kapara, what is the time of the atonement of these two Seirim? That's B'Shas Matan Damim. That's the time when you apply, you make the applications of the blood of the Sar Lashem, which is two avoidas that these two Seirim come together. You have to leave it alive until you finish with the other one of applying its blood, B'Sulai. Now, what that sounds like from the Pasuk is that you don't have to leave the Sar Lazazel longer than the time that you need for the atonement of the application of its blood inside. Now, that was in phase two. That was before the Haktaras Emurim of the Panemium, which is only in phase three. And therefore, obviously, that the Pasuk must be out of order because you have to have that it, when the Pasuk is telling you send away the Azazel, we're only requiring it at an earlier stage. You could send them away already at phase two, when you finish with the applications of the blood, because that's how long you have to hold on to it, and then you send them away. So you see that you are sending them away before Haktaras Emurim, because that's only phase three. And therefore, that is supports Abaye's answer that you cannot say the Hekesh the other way, of saying that compare the Mishdaleach to the Sarif, and maybe they're both taking place later, and not to say we're comparing Sarif to Mishdaleach, that they were done earlier, and therefore the Pesukim have to be out of order. Because you couldn't say that, because it's clearly from the Pasuk that it tells you you only have to have the Sar, in other words, you send away the Sar Lazazel, it's still in phase two, not at this later point in time, after the Haktaras Emurim, in phase three. And therefore it must be that we're comparing the Sarif, the burning of the Parm and Sarim and Sarfim, to the earlier HaMishdaleach, which is done earlier before the Haktaras Emurim. Now the Gemara concluded that discussion of the Braisa and these two approaches of Rav Chisda and Rava, how we know that's out of order, and then Abaye and Rava demonstrating that it's actually not just this one pasuk that's out of order, but all the pesukim from Achav Gimla on out of order. Now the Gemara moves on to the procedure of the conclusion of the Avodah of the Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippurim, because we have in our Mishnah just finished off the Avodahs of the five phases of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippurim. So it says, Asi Mishaleach. So the following day after Yom Kippurim, the one who had sent the Sar Lazazel, he would come back to civilization. Now, Matzei Bishuk LeKohen Gadol, if he met the Kohen Gadol in the marketplace, so then he would honor the Kohen Gadol in front of the people who were there. And therefore, Omer Leh, he would tell him in the following version, he said, Ishi Kohen Gadol, my master the Kohen Gadol, Asinu Shluchu Secha, we did your mission, and that is what you have to do. We followed through on that by taking the Sar Lazazel. And that was an honor to the Kohen Gadol, as if it's his shlichus. Matzah Bebeisa, however, if he would meet him in his house, where there weren't other people in the marketplace around, then Oimelah, he would tell him, Mechaye Chayim, the one who gives life to the living, which is a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Asini Shluchu Sai. We did his mission, the mission that he gave us. And therefore, it was really saying that honor to Hashem, but when the Kohen Gadol was around other people, then he would show honor to the Kohen Gadol. Now the Gemara continues with a similar appellation of Mechaye Chaim in a different story. Amar Rabbi said that Ki Miftiri Abanan Mahadadi Bepumbedisa, when the rabbis would take leave from each other, when they were taking permission to go back home, the rabbis and Pumbedisa, Amri Hachi, they would say a similar type of vernacular, that Mechaye Chaim, the one who gives life to the living, Yitn Locha Chaim Aruchim, he should give you long life, V'tovim and good life, V'mesukanim, and appropriate. That was the term they gave with the bracha that they gave the one who was leaving to say this term of Mechaye Chaim. Now, Rashi explains, once we were talking about Chaim Mesukanim, appropriate and a type of a life, so the Gemara continues explaining the following pasuk in Tehillim. David HaMelech says, Es Halech Lefnei Hashem, I should go in front of you, Hashem, Ba'artza Chaim, in the land of the living. So what does that mean? Amar Yehudi says, Zeh Mokim Shvakim. This is a reference to a place which had marketplaces, which in the market, a person could find all his needs that he needs in the market to purchase for food. Now, the reason why David HaMelech was davening for this, which we're saying is Artz Chaim, the land of life, which is the same term of Chaim Musukanim, because he was then in Galus, he was going here and there, and he wasn't in a place which had a marketplace. So he was davening for this, Hashem, please, let me go Artz Chaim, but that's a reference to the market where you can get all the needs that you need. You can have your Chaim Musukanim. Similar, the Gemara brings a pasuk in Mishlei that says, Ki Oirich Yamin, because lengthy days, V'shneis Chaim V'shalem, and years of life and peace, Yisifuloch, they should increase upon you. Now, the question is, V'chiyashonim Shal Chaim, are there years of life, V'yashonim She'enu Shal Chaim, and are there years that are not alive? You only have years when you're living. What does it mean, V'shneis Chaim, that years of life, they should increase upon you? So Rav Blazer says, What does it mean, Shnois Chayim, years of life? These are Shnois of Shal Adam, these are years of a person, Hamas Hapchis Olav Mira L'Taiva, that they get turned over from bad to good. And as Rashi explains, if somebody was poor when he was younger, and then he became wealthier when he was older, to him it seems like that he became alive from death. And therefore that's what it means, that these are years of life. That's the bracha that he was giving, that a person should be able to get that type of such an extreme makeover. That means it becomes Shanois Shal Chaim. Now, the Gemara continues, and Rashi explains the reason why the Gemara continues with this pasuk, is because the beginning of that parsha, which talks about Shanois Chaim, mentions this pasuk, so the Gemara explains this pasuk in two different ways. It says in the pasuk, Aleichem to you, Ishim men, Ekra will call out. So the first interpretation, Amr B'riacha, he says, Elu Tamid HaChachamim Shedaymin L'Nashim. This is a reference to Talmudic scholars who are similar to women in the sense of that they're weak. However, they do mighty acts like men. And Rashi explains the reason for this interpretation was because the term Ishim, generally you say Anashim. Ishim sounds like the term of Isha, like a woman. And therefore, we're saying that although they're like women, but they do acts like men, to say that although they're weak, but they have this roar, there's mightiness, that when they have to step up to the plate, the Talmid HaChachamim, they do what's required. Another interpretation in that pasuk from the same opinion of Amar Barachya, he says, "Haroitzu lenasach yain lagabei hamizbech." If someone wants to pour wine on the mizbech, which are the nisach yain that was done in the Beis Hamikdash, yimali groinim shal tamid chacham yain. He should fill up the throats of Talmudic scholars with wine. Shnem, like it says in the pasuk, "Aleichem ishim ekra." Now here the Gemara interprets the word Ishim from the word Ishel, like it's always used in the Torah, that it's a fire on the Mizbeach. So to you I call out, Tamid HaChachamim, that you are such a Bechina, such a category of Ishim, of the fires on the Mizbeach. So like pouring the wine on the Mizbeach is what a Talmudic scholar who is a living Mizbeach, pouring wine on, in his throat, is the same Hagdara, the same quality as pouring Nisach HaYayin on the Mizbeach. Now another statement from the same opinion of Berechia, also continuing on this theme of Talmud Chachamim, he says, "V'amir Berechia," says, "Imraya Adam should Torah pesekes mezayif." Somebody sees that Torah is seizing from his children. So what should he do? Yisa bas Talmud Chacham. He should marry the daughter of a Talmudic scholar. And the reason is, Shanem, like it says the pasuk in Eiv, says, "Im yazkin ba'aret sharshay," if his roots are getting old in the ground, "uva offer yamis gizay," and in the earth his trunk is dying. So then the Gemara continues, Amud Beis, the Pasuk tells us, Mireyach Mayim Yafriach, from the smell of water it will blossom. Now, Mayim is always a reference to Torah. So Mayim is a reference to B'nai Torah. The Reach, the smell of that, is the daughter of the Talmud Chacham. And that is a Bas, is always a Bechina of Me'ein, of something like that, something part of it, like a Bas Koil. So from the smell of the water will blossom, va'asak katzer kamaynata, and then he'll make branches like a young sapling. So therefore, someone sees that Talmud, that Torah is seizing from his children, he should marry a bas Talmud Chacham, and that will regenerate the Torah in his family. Now the Mishnah concluded by saying, v'yamtev ha'yoyse lo'ayavav, that the Kohen Gadol, when he would come out peacefully, he fulfilled in, and he would come out alive from the doing his avodah in Kippurim, he would make a suda, a celebration for his close friends. So Talmud learned the Braisa the following incident. There was one time that the Kohen Gadol, he was leaving the Beis HaMikdash. Everyone was following after him. There was a whole entourage because of this great simcha of the Kohen Gadol that everyone would come and escort him. However, when all the masses saw Shmai Vavtan, who were the Gedolei Hadar, they left the Kohen Gadol, and they followed after Shmai Vavtan. Now, L'saif, Asur Shmai Vavtan Lifturi Minei De Kohen Gadol. At the end, when Shmai Vavtan wanted to take permission from the Kohen Gadol to go home, they came to the Kohen Gadol to say goodbye. So Amar Lahen, so the Kohen Gadol said to Shmai Vavtan, he said, Yesin B'nei Ammin L'shlam. He says, let the children of the nations go home in peace. Now, that was disparaging to the Gedoy L'Hadar Shmai Vavtan, because they were the grandchildren of Sancheirim, who, as the Gemara says, Masechet Kitten, that therefore they were Gerim. They were from the family of Gerim, which had them come, they're really B'nai Amin, they were the people of different nations. So he was saying it like, oh, you should go in peace, but if he said it disparagingly, or Lashon Gnai, so Amalei, so they responded to the Kohen Gadol, Yesin B'nai Amin L'shlam, yes, let the children of the nations go home in peace. However, De'avdin Uv De'aron, because they do the acts of Aaron HaKayin, who's your grandfather, who he was right of Shalom, he runs after peace. However, let not the son of Aaron go home in peace, which a reference to him, the Kohen Gadol, to lay over Uvda Aaron, which he does not do the acts of Aaron HaKohen, his grandfather, because you're hurting us with your Anoz Devarim, with these hurtful words. As the Gemara says, Mamid Bunun Chesam Beis, says, Al Toinu Isha Samisa, a person should not afflict his friend. Now, the Gemara there explains that's a reference to Anoz Devarim, to hurtful words. And that is, if so, let's say someone was a Ben Gerim, the son of converts, he shouldn't remind them, oh, your father, he wasn't a Jew at one point. That's hurtful words. And therefore, let us, who, although we're from other nations, who we do the acts of your grandfather, and not you, who you don't do the acts of your own grandfather. Now the Gemara continues with the next mission, and now that we finished the Seder of the majority of Masechet Yoma, which is the Seder of Avodah Zarah, the Kohen Gadol and Kippurim, so now the Gemara talks about the different Big De Kahuna, which makes the differences between the Begadim that the Kohen Gadol has and the Begadim of a Kohen Hedyot. So the Mishnah tells us that Kohen Gadol Mishamish B'Shemayin Nekelim, the Kohen Gadol would generally utilize 8 different garments, V'Hedyot Barba, and the Kohen Hedyot, a regular Kohen, would use 4 garments. Now the Mishnah explains what are the 4 garments of the Kohen Hedyot. They are biksainis with a tunic, type of like a shirt, umechnesayim breeches, which is a type of like a short pants, it would go down to his knees, umitznefes and the turban, which is a type of a hat that's wrapped around the top of the head, viavnet and a belt. Now Moshe Kohen Gadol would add another 4 garments, which they are choshen there, the breastplate, which had the 12 stones on them, v'eifer, and it's like an apron-like type of a garment, umeil and a robe, v'tzitz, and that was the plate worn on his forehead that had the words Kodesh Lashem on his forehead. Now the Mishnah tells us, "Be'elu nishalim ba'um retumim," and that is the Kohen who is asked regarding the Urim Tumim could only be when he's wearing the 8 begadim of the Kohen Gadol, and that is, there was Urim Tumim inside the Choshen, which had the certain names of Hashem, which then, if someone asked a certain question, the answers would light up on the stones on the Choshen. He was only able to be asked with the Urim Tumim if he's wearing all the 8 garments. And the further qualification is, the Ein Shalom, he was only able to be asked of the Urim Tumim, El Lamelech, only if it was a king that it was regarding, Ula Av Bezdin, or the head of the Bezdin, Ula Misha Tzibet Tzarech, but over someone that the public needs, for example, like the Par of the Kohen Meshuach, who's going out to war, for those people, then we use the utility of the Urim Tumim, but not for any regular questions. Now, regarding the composition of these Begadim, the Gemara brings Tarban learned in the following Brisa, which later on the Gemara will go into great detail to explain the sources and the understanding of what's mentioned in this Brisa. However, the Brisa says, Dvarm Shenema Behen Shesh, regarding the items in the Beis HaMikdash, including the Big Dekuna, that says regarding them Shesh. Now, Shesh is generally translated as linen. However, the term Shesh tells you Chutin Kafal Shesha, that the threads were doubled over 6, and that is every single type of fabric that was used was composed, each thread was composed of 6 threads. That's if it says the term Shesh. Mazhar, if it says only the term of twined, which is a way of spinning them together, which if it says only that term without the term of Shesh, now as Rashi explains, as the Gemara will shortly illustrate, that was only one case where it says the term Mazhar without Shesh, which were the remaining, the pomegranates. It wasn't really pomegranates, but it looked like pomegranates that were on the bottom of the me'il, of the robe, then that would mean shmoina. That would mean every single thread was really made of every single type that there was. Let's say there's tchelis and argaman, whatever it is, each different type had their threads were doubled over. They were made from 8-fold of each thread. Now, based on these calculations, again, as the Gemara will demonstrate, me'il, the robe itself, was made out of each type of fabric that was there, was each thread was done shnei ma'aser, was composed of really 12 different strands. Pareches, the curtains in the Beis HaMikdash, were Esther Mabar, were 24. So each thread, so to speak, that you're using to make this thing, the pareches, was actually each type of fabric was made up of really 24-fold of that. Cheshem Eifod, the breastplate and the apron-like garment, they were Esther and Bishmoyne, they were 28 each. Now the Gemara explains this price in greater detail. Chutun, it said that when it says Sheish, then that means Chutun Kafal Shish. That means the threads were 6-fold. So the Gemara asks Menalan, where do we know that that's what that means? So Dama Kras, it says in the Pasuk in Shemais, it says, V'yasu es hakosnei Sheish, they made the tunics Sheish, V'es mitznefesh Sheish, and the turbans were Sheish, again that means linen, V'es pari hamikboi Sheish, and the glorified hats were also Sheish, V'es michnesi habod, and the pants were also Sheish, which the bad means another term of linen. Sheish mazhar, they were Sheish, they were linen that was twined. Now, Chamisha Kroik Sibi. We have a total of 5 psukim that were written together, where it could have said one time the term Sheish all the way at the end. However, it says it 5 times. Now, Rashi explains how we have the number 5 is because bad is being included as sheish, because they both mean the same thing. They mean linen. So you have 5. Now, although later on the pasuk says by avnid also the term sheish, Rashi explains that there it had to say it separately. It couldn't have been included in the same category of sheish, because since the belt had another type mixed with it, not just sheish, therefore I had to say it on its own. But what we see the Bryce is saying is that there's 5 times that it says sheish. Why does it say 5 times? Chad legufe, one to say for itself, in other words, the kisna nihava, to tell you that it's made out of linen, because it has to say, sheish is saying that it's made out of linen. V'chad she'echutin kafal shisha, and then the next time that it says sheish, is to say that the thread should be folded over 6 times, that's the word sheish. V'chad she'eshezurin, and once that they should be twined, I mean take all 6 and twine them together, each one that has the 6. V'chad l'shar begadim, and the 4th time that it says, to tell you that it applies to all the other garments too, that they also have this same criteria of having 6-fold. And shaleinem ben sheish, where there it doesn't say sheish by them. That even there, where it doesn't say sheish, their thread should be 6-fold. And the Gemara later on is going to explain which garment, what did we leave out that didn't say by it sheish, that we're telling you it should be 6-fold. And finally, the 5th time is v'chad l'yakiv, and one is to say that, not that this is preferable, that it's l'mitzvah, actually it will withhold the validity if it wasn't done this way, that each one was 6-fold. So that's, again, that explains how we know that when it says sheish, it means that the thread should be sixfold, because we learn many things from the term that it says five times sheish, and one of them tells us that it should be sixfold. Now the Gemara asks, on the first time that it says sheish, which we said it says five times, the first time is to tell you that it means it should be made out of sheish, which is linen. But the Gemara asks, my mashma the high sheish kisnahu. From where do we know that the term sheish actually means linen? Sheish usually is translated as six. Where do we see that it means linen? So Amr Rabbi Yisrael Reb Chanina, he says the amakra, because the first interpretation the Gemara brings, it says in the pasuk bad. Now we're obviously equating them because it's saying they're sheish, bad, sheish. We see that they're interchangeable. Now, since it used the term bad, which also is, we know is translating as linen, how do we know that's linen? Because davar ha'olam and akarka bad bad, that we're referring to something that comes out of the ground, each one separately. Like the word lavad means individually. Now, flax and hemp, they don't have any other protrusions coming out, any branches like a tree. It only has leaves. And the flax only comes out of the middle reed. So therefore, that's how we know when the pasuk is, which is interchangeable, sheish and bad. Now, bad, how do we know that that means linen? Because it's something that comes out bad, bad, by itself. What is that? That's linen. And that's how we know that sheish also means linen. And therefore, when it says sheish, it's a reference to linen. But that the Gemara asks, Be'ima Amra, maybe it's a reference to wool. Wool also each here on the of wool that comes off the animal is also grows individually. Maybe that's the reference that it should be made out of wool, not out of linen. So that the Gemara answers, but no, because Amra ifatsulei miftzla, wool splits. Each strand splits into two. And as Rashi says, that people have the hairs on their beards, the same thing, you see the hair splits. Therefore, it's not really bad. It's not individually because it splits into two. But then the Gemara asks, but kislanami ifatsulei miftzla, but we know flax also splits, because when they would, the part of the process of turning the flax into linen, they would hit it and they would grind it and it would turn into many different strands. So you see it splits there also. And the Gemara answers, however, kisna agav likuse, by flax, it's only when you hit it and you bang on it, then miftzel, then it splits apart. However, in its natural growth, it does not. Therefore, when it's saying the pasuk bad, something that grows individually, it would make more sense to say it's linen, which naturally it does not split into two, than wool, which naturally splits into two. That was one approach, how we know that sheish means linen. Ravinam, he says another pshat, how we know that sheish means kisna, that means linen. Mahalcha from the following pasuk in Yecheskel. Says in the pasuk, describing the Bigdei Kahuna, it says, Pa'arei pishtim, the hats of linen. Now in the Torah it's written, Ves pa'arei hamigboi sheish. Yiyu al-reishim, that should be on their heads. U'michnasei pishtim, yamas name, and the pants of linen should be on their loins. Therefore you see that pishtim is the same term as sheish, because that's how it's describing it in Yecheskel, and that's how we know that sheish means linen. However, the Gemara asks on this pshat. Amalei Ravashi, Ravashi says to Ravina, but before Yecheskel Hanavi came, which was much later than from when the Torah was written, then who said, what did they do till then? Who said then that that's what sheish means, that it means linen? We only know this from Yecheskel, who came much later. But then the Gemara answers, no. He answered to Rav Ashi L'tameich, according to your logic that you're asking on me, what we know and what we do before Yecheskel, but Hadam Rav Chizza said, that davar zeh, that this thing that the Gemara will shortly explain, mitaris Moshe Rabbeinu loy lamanu, we don't know it from the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu taught us. It's not written in the Torah. Rather, midiri Yecheskel ben Buzi lamanu, we only learned this from the Navi in Sefer Yecheskel, that he taught us the following pasig, where it says, kol ben necher, any person that's a foreigner. And that is, he's estranged. What does that mean, he's estranged? He's estranged from his Father in heaven, from his action that he does. That's orelev, that he's a clogged heart. And also, va'oral basar, someone's clogged in his flesh, which means to say that he's uncircumcised. And not because he has an arlev, he actually would want to do the mitzvahs, but just because his brothers died from circumcision, so we don't do it on him, because then he's going to die too. However, either one, the arlev or the oral basar, says in Yecheskel lo yave al mikdashi, he should not come to my beis hamikdash to do the avodah. Now, it's difficult. Before Yecheskel came and taught us this pasuk, who told us this halacha, which is taught in the second parak of Masechta Zvachim, that a kohen that's an orel, an uncircumcised kohen, is possible to do the avodah? We only know it from a sefer in Yecheskel, so who taught it to us before Yecheskel? Ella, rather, Gemar Gemirlo, what you have to say is that this is a tradition that was halacha l'meishem Sinai. We knew it. Just for us, Yecheskel, v'asmacha akra, Yecheskel came and established it, supported it with a pasuk. But it's not that we didn't know it before Yecheskel. So that Ravina says, Hachanami Gemara Gemirla. Here also, this is a tradition that we had. And just for Asi Yecheskel v'asmucha akra. Just Yecheskel came and put it into Pasuk, so we can go ahead and reveal, based on his Pasuk, that what does Sheish mean? It means linen, but it's not that we didn't know it beforehand. These are things that Halacha Meshem Esina, the interpretation of the Pasuk. We could just support what is the true answer from the Pasuk in Yecheskel, but it's not like we didn't have this as Halacha Meshem Esina. However, we can just reveal and clarify for ourselves from the Pasuk in Yecheskel that that's what Sheish means. It means linen. So again, that was the Gemara's discussion of the first item mentioned in the Braisa. So that of Sheish, that it means that it's sixfold, and included in that we also define how Sheish means linen. Then the Braisa said that Mazhar, twined, means Shemena, means that each thread was eightfold of whatever types of fabric there was. Now, the Gemara asked Minolad, from where do we know that that's what the term means? So it's like it says a pasuk in Shemais, it says, Ve'yasu al shulei ha'me'il, that it should be made on the hem of the robe. Remine, these are pomegranates, which not real pomegranates that grow on trees, but rather that they're made out of tchelis, blue wool of argaman, and purple wool of telashani, and the red thread. Mazhar, they should be mazhar, they should be twined. As we said, this is really the only place where the Torah says mazhar individually, not with the term sheish, and that's where we're saying that it's eightfold. How do we know they're eightfold? Because v'yalav mazhar, mazhar mipareches. It says mazhar over here by the pomegranates of the me'il. And it also says the term mazhar by the pareches, by the curtain. Now, mala halan eser ma'ba, just like by the pareches, we know that there were 24 threads, and that is because there were four different types of fabric used by the pareches. Now, each one of those fabrics were folded over six. So therefore, for each one, each thread, which was from four different types, and each one was sixfold, so you have each one being made 24-fold. Afkan eser ma'ba. So here we also says the term mazhar. We also know that each thread was 24 threads, and the reason is because that here there was three different types, and must be that it's going to be 24 because it says mazhar there and mazhar here. The hava kol chad v'chad tamni. That comes out that each one from each type was going to be eightfold because since there's three different types. And we're saying that they have to end up being 24. 24 divided by 3 will make 8. That's how we know that each of the three types that I mentioned, Tchelis, Argam, and Tlashani, each one was eightfold. 8 times 3 is 24, because we know that when they would make one thread out of all these types of fabrics, had to be 24-fold, like we learned at Mazhar from the Pareches. So that makes each one 8. Now that the Gemara asks, V'nelef mechayshin v'eifod? Why don't you learn the term Mazhar, which is mentioned by the Chayshin and the Eifod? And say that malahal nesmash b'shmeina, just like over there by the chayshim, by the breastplate and the ephod, the apron-like garment, had 28 folds. Afkan esmash b'shmeina. Here also it's 28. How do you know to learn that it's from 24, from the halacha of the pareches? Maybe learn it from the chayshim, the ephod. And that the Gemara answers no. The Gemara gives three approaches. Dan and davish le nema b'zahav. We learned something that doesn't say regarding it gold, which are the pomegranates of the Be'il, midavish lo yinem b'yizav, from something that also doesn't say that there is gold inside of it, which is the pareches. Lafuki, chayshim e'efod, shenem b'yizav, that however comes to exclude the chayshim e'efod, where it does say about it gold. And therefore we would compare it to what it's more similar to, and therefore mazhar here, mazhar there, by the pareches, 24 divided by 3 makes it 8, instead of comparing it to the chayshim e'efod, which has an additional element of gold. Now that the Gemara asks, what do you mean? Adrab, to the contrary. I'll tell you a different logic why you should actually compare it to the Cheshen Eifed and not to the Pareches. Because done and begged me begged. You should learn out a garment, which are the pomegranates of the Me'il, which is part of the robe, from a begged, which is another garment, which is the Cheshen Eifed, la fuke Pareches to Eilhu, rather than learning from the Pareches, which is not even a garment. It's part of the structure of the building. So therefore, maybe we should say that it's 28 threads divided by 3 and not 24 threads divided by 3. So the Gemara says, you're right. It's not clear why we would learn mazhar from pareches over the chayshin eifod. If chayshin eifod has another logic why we would compare it from there because they're both garments. Ela dunin mi avnit. Rather, we learn it from the belt, where the belt also has four different types, and each type was sixfold, which when they're all twined together makes that they were 24-fold. And therefore, the reason why we learn from the belt is because of a dun and beged, there you have both elements. We'll learn something that's a garment, again, a reference to what we're trying to learn from there. And it's v'davash shalai nema b'izav, and it's also something that does not have gold. Mi beged v'davash shalai nema b'izav. So the remaining me'il, which is a garment and does not have gold mentioned there, is similar to the gartel, to the avnet, in two criteria. That also is a garment, and it's also something that doesn't have zav written it, And ve'ein dan in davish, ein ba'izav, we will not learn something that does not have gold written regarding it, which is a reference to the pomegranates on the bottom of the mill, midavish yesh ba'izav, from something that does have gold written on it, which is the chesh and the ephod. So that was one answer the Gemara gave, how we know that mazhar is going to mean that each one is going to be eightfold, because since there's three different types, tchelis agam and tlashani, which makes it a total of 24, we know it's 24 from the avnit, and not from the chesh and the ephod, because we're going to compare it to something that does not have gold, then rather something that does have gold. Another answer the Gemara gives, why we're not going to learn from the Chesh and the Ephod to say that there was a total of 28 and not of 24, as we're saying. Rav Mariam, he says, because it says in the Pasuk in Shemais, Ta'asenu ksiv. The Pasuk says regarding the Chesh that you should make it, which means Ta'asenu lezeh, you should make the Chesh like the Ephod, v'loy la'achar, and not another one, and therefore you don't learn out from it the remaining ill from the Chesh and Ephod, because you can't learn from it. It's saying that what you do over here is what you do over here, not for anywhere else, and therefore we're not going to learn from the Chesh and Ephod that it should be a total of 28, rather again from the Avnei, which will be a total of 24. A third answer the Gemara gives why we're not learning from the Chesh and the Ephod that should be a total of 28. Rav Ashi, I mean, he says, the Pasuk in Shemai says, V'asisiksim. It says regarding the pomegranates, again, that's made out of fabric, it just looks like a pomegranate, on the bottom of the Me'il, it says that you should make it. Now, vasisa, you should make it, in the singular, it sounds like shiyu kolasiyah shavis, that all the makings of that pomegranate should be the same, should be equal. And that what that means is that all the different types of fabric, the tchelis, agam, and tlashon, they should be equal. And therefore, we cannot learn from cheshem eifred, which is a total of 28. Because v'heichan avid, what should we do if we would be learning the remaining il from the cheshem eifred? Navit losa da sara sara. If we're going to make the three types 10 each, because they all have to be the same, havit losan, that would make 30-fold, and that's not what we're learning from Cheshem Eifed, which is only 28-fold. Navit trade the tisha tisha, and if we would do two types that are 9 apiece, v'chad da sara, and one that's 10, which would make for a total of 28, but amakra, that's what the Pasuk tells you, vasisa, that you should make it, shiyu kolasiyos of Shabbos, that all it's making should be equal, and therefore you cannot learn from the Chesh and Eifed, because that would make it an uneven number, and we learn that from the Avnet, which would make it a total of 24. So the Gemara has three different reasons why it is that we're not learning from the Chesh and the Eifed, which would make for a total of 28, rather we learn from the Avnet, which is a total of 24, and that's the source how we know regarding the Remain Me'il, which is the one place where it says Mazhar, that Mazhar means to say that it was eightfold of each type, because since there were three different types of Tchelis, Argaman, and Tlashani, which had to have a total of 24, as we just explained from the Avnet, which also says Mazhar there, therefore we know that Mazhar means to say that each one, 24 divided by 3, must be each one was eightfold.